Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Stephanie Taub, who's the Senior Counsel for First Liberty, which is an organization fighting for religious freedom in the courts of America and also in the courts of public opinion. And this is an organization founded by Kelly Shackelford. And we are going to talk about religious liberty right now, and especially some of the cases going on. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us on the program again.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Let's begin with the recent victory for religious freedom in America, 6-3, Supreme Court decision related to churches in California and COVID-19.
That's exactly right. Just a few days ago, there is in a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court struck down California's ban on indoor church services.
Okay, and this is, what was the deal? I understand they allowed in California, they were allowing, you know, stores were open, liquor stores were open or whatever, indoor people could do that kind of thing, but churches weren't allowed.
That's exactly right. So in most of the state, California forbid any kind of indoor worship services, while at the same time they allowed most retail operations to proceed. They allowed many businesses to operate. They were subject to some sort of capacity limitations that they were allowed to meet, but churches were not. And California is the only state in the entire country that went so far as to ban all indoor religious services. So this was clearly an act of discrimination, and we're glad to see that six justices of the Supreme Court has decided that it was unconstitutional and struck down that ban.
It was amazing, too, that there was a judge in California who earlier last year had said, the First Amendment should not be, you know, put on hold. Therefore, the strip clubs of California should be allowed to continue. And so it was so ironic. And no, I'm serious. You know, the First Amendment, which was first and foremost about religion, religious freedom, and then includes freedom of speech and the strip clubs or whatever, you know, they hang on to that. And so, I mean, that really was an amazing decision, of discrimination against churches in the big picture.
Yeah, this whole year has been a series of decisions like that. We've seen quite a few government actors, such as Governor Newsom in California and Governor Cuomo out of New York, just targeting religious institutions with more stringent restrictions than their secular counterparts. And after nearly a year of this, these so-called temporary restrictions aren't temporary any longer. And so under the Constitution, it's very important that, I mean, religious liberty is our first freedom, and it's essential that we respect this freedom, and our constitutionally protected rights are not suspended during a pandemic.
All right, let's talk about another case. I understand there was a case that First Liberty's been dealing with recently out of Maine.
Yes, that's right. So we represent parents, and along with the Institute for Justice, we filed a cert petition at the United States Supreme Court to protect the right to school choice in the state of Maine.
And give us more details.
So that's right. The state had a program where they were allowing parents to have some sort of a tuition credit. But they were not allowing parents to let their students receive that credit if they choose to go to religious schools. So this sort of bar, we argue, runs afoul of recent Supreme Court decisions that made it clear that if you have a grant-based program, you have to make sure that you are offering it equally to everyone. So if the parents have a right to decide where to send their children, then they have a right not to be excluded from the program simply because they want to give their kids a religious education.
And what's the status of this ongoing battle?
So we are asking the Supreme Court to take the case. We recently filed our request for the court to take up the case last week. And so we will be waiting to see whether the court will step in to correct what the lower courts have done.
How often does First Liberty even get to deal with the Supreme Court?
Well, religious liberty cases do often go before the Supreme Court. So we often weigh in on various Supreme Court issues, various religious liberty issues before the Supreme Court, so several times a year. And so now we've got two cases that we're asking the Supreme Court to take this month. So there is a school choice case, and then we're also going to be bringing a case about religious autonomy, church autonomy, basically to protect the right of churches to make leadership and governance decisions without government oversight and scrutinizing those internal religious decisions.
Okay, tell us about that autonomy case. Where is it out of? What are the details? I mean, it's just a brief version.
Yeah, so this is a case that that is coming. It's the North American Mission Board. We represent the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, and we are arguing that the lower court's decision should be overturned, and the Supreme Court should take up this case. As basically, a minister was terminated from a ministry position over a dispute about how to run the ministry, and this is clearly what the First Amendment is designed to give a certain amount of independence to religious organizations, to churches, to make sure that the government is not in the business of overseeing religious internal church decisions about how they should run, how they should operate their ministries, who should teach the faith. And so we're asking the Supreme Court to take this case to really clarify that that courts should stay out of these sorts of decisions.
Yeah, and wasn't there a Supreme Court decision even when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was alive? And as I recall, it was something like 9-0, which is unprecedented. But it was something like this. It was out of the Midwest, and the bottom line is the Supreme Court said 9-0, the state has no jurisdiction over who the church can hire, or something like that. It might have been a Catholic school, or something to that effect. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the Hosanna Tabor case, and it was a 9-0 case. So it was a unanimous decision that that stood for this principle that churches have the right to make those sorts of employment decisions with respect to their ministers. And so what we have here is we have an interpretation that is trying to chip away at that right. So it's trying to say that it depends on what kind of a claim you bring. If you frame your lawsuit in a certain way, you can kind of get around, they're trying to get around that prohibition in Hosanna Tabor. And so we're arguing, no, this Supreme Court, this is your chance to really take this case and protect religious freedom for all organizations, and that you shouldn't be able to get around it by just by the way that you write your lawsuit.
Do me a favor. Could you repeat the name of that decision that was 9-0?
That's the Hosanna Tabor case.
Hosanna Tabor.
And it did involve a Catholic. Yeah, and that did involve a Catholic school.
Tabler case. Now, you've been following the Supreme Court, I'm sure, for years, and I have, but not as an attorney or anything, but just following it, especially as it relates to religious freedom or the cultural issues of today and so forth. It's very unprecedented to hear about a 9-0 decision, especially something that's, you know, a very good pro-Christian outlook, outcome. That's a fascinating 9-0. That says something to me.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It's a pretty clear argument that the whole point of the Free Exercise Clause and the Establishment Clause is to maintain this, make sure that we don't have a Church of America, to make sure that it's not the role of the government to decide who is leading who is leading churches, who is teaching the faith, who is conveying their messages to the next generation. All of these are decisions that need to be made by churches, by synagogues, by religious schools and religious ministries, and not by courts.
All right. I understand First Liberty Institute is now involved in a case out of Aurora, Illinois. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we represented a student in Illinois at the Illinois Math and Science Academy who was, and we've got good news, that student was able to get a religious accommodation after First Liberty sent a letter on her behalf. So she was initially required to participate in a sexuality program. It was some sort of an assembly program that would teach about, it would have sexual content. But even though Illinois has a law that allows students to opt out of sex ed classes, they were initially not letting this student opt out. And after First Liberty sent a letter, then they decided to follow the law and allow this student to have an alternate way to, they allowed her an accommodation, which is really a really good outcome for this student. And it really serves as a reminder for parents across the country to look into what's being taught in school and whether you have a right to opt out if it doesn't accord with your religious beliefs.
The name of the school here that you're talking about is the Illinois Mathematics and Science Academy, but I'm not sure, is that a high school level? Is that college level? Is that graduate school level? What level is that offhand? Do you know?
It's high school.
Oh, okay. So basically there was a student that didn't want to participate. And, you know, by the way, I remember seeing video, this is like 20 years ago, where it showed an AIDS type presentation. The goal was supposedly to promote safe sex or whatever, but it was like a porno talk. It was all words and laughter and so forth, but it was like a nightclub performance or whatever at this high school, and it was required. These people had to go, and thankfully somebody made a secret copy, and then once the word got out, it was like, how can the school justify this? This is terrible. They were mocking, you know, any kind of traditional morality and marriage and so forth. It was awful. It was just promoting sex with anybody and everybody, you know, everything, as long as you have a condom.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard reports of things like that going on. So this was a gender and sexuality program that really had, I mean, there were some issues, there were definitely issues about there are quite a few issues. I don't even know where to start. But we had allowing...
It was immoral according to the perspective of the student, right?
Yes, that's right, and her parents, and they weren't respecting her decision to opt out of that program initially. And so we're glad that they eventually did come around right after we sent our letter and were able to find a win-win solution for everybody.
Okay, excellent. We have half a minute to wrap up. Anything else you want to say about religious liberty? It seems like we just have to constantly be on our guard, and thank God for groups like First Liberty Institute.
Yes, and this decision in the out of California from the United States Supreme Court is really encouraging to see that there will be true oversight from the Supreme Court with respect to all these unprecedented challenges to religious liberty. So we hope that this will continue, and we hope that everyone will stay vigilant in standing up for religious freedom.
All right, and the website for First Liberty is firstliberty.org, correct?
That's exactly right.
Okay, Stephanie Taub, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.